Blog Talk Radio.
Doing good, doing good, doing good. Another Wednesday, brother, for real again.
Yeah.
Wednesdays keep coming, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Man, I know this sounds cliche, but time is flying, isn't it?
It's on a 747, brother. Time is on a 747.
At least.
I mean, March is half over.
Half.
March is more than half over.
Next thing you know, we'll be putting up Christmas lights.
I had the Christmas trees up in January. People looking at me like I was crazy. But I just want to put the thing back up. So now, look, you like It seemed like it was going to be in a few moments. We have to drag that thing back downstairs at the Hollow Center. No.
Not yet.
Well, it may as well.
I went to this dentist up in the D.C. area. They have a big old house over there, and not far from me. He has a Christmas floor to his house. That's how ridiculous people can get sometimes. So he said, look, I'm not taking any tree down or putting any tree up. He just has a whole floor of his house dedicated to Christmas. Christmas trees and Santa Clauses and baby Jesuses all over the place. Hey, that's pretty good, though. I admire his ingenuity. A little lazy, but I had to give him a little props.
Things
people
do
money for.
Yeah, man.
Things people do when they got time and money on their hands.
I don't even know how to say it. I don't even know how to address.
They got a war going on.
Yeah, it's
too.
Raining, man. It's raining like. Man, the war, man. What's up with that?
Why do people go to war?
What's up with that?
Yeah, look at these wars getting started. And, like, it's like they don't realize how it's going to end. It's like every war reminds me of how people don't pay attention to history. Every time I see a war, and there's somebody who doesn't really appreciate history. Now, you got somebody like Putin who knows history. He has an agenda. But the other folks, he knows it's gonna be some hell. Stuff's gonna be tore up. But I guess he's the one that's.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. I just hate it. I hate it because it affects us all eventually. So I'm paying $5, $6, $7 a gallon for gas, supply chain.
What do you think, Rob? What do you think we could probably handle this thing a little better than these guys handling it? I just gotta believe.
Well, let's put it this way. People that don't have this sounds crazy. It almost dives into the gun madness. But people that have nuclear weapons tend to work it out. If both parties have nuclear weapons, somehow they seem to find common ground. They somehow find a way to work it out. But when you have one company that has superior arms, somehow talking just doesn't seem good enough anymore. So that's generally the way it works. When you have one country with superior military, they feel like they can impose their will upon the weaker country. It has no bearing on who's right and wrong. I think Mao Zedong said, right is on the side of the stronger. So the person with the most might always feel like they are right, which further their belief that they can go ahead and impose their will because they have this might. Might makes right. So, of course, then, hell, if Ukraine have had the nuclear weapons, hell, they may have attacked Russia. Who knows? But the country with the strongest weapons usually are the ones who do the attacking. That tells you how messed up society is. Well, that's a microcosm of what happens in society. The weak, the strong is constantly preying on the weak. And it goes all the way up to government. The schoolyard bully beats up the young kid, beats up the nerd. And as long as there's the imbalance of power, and the bully would justify his wrong because, one, for no other reason, because he can. He has the power. That means whatever I believe is right. So the answer lies in there, Leon, somewhere. You don't want to start an arms race, but the answer somewhere lies where everybody's got to have the same amount of weaponry or no weaponry. But until that happens, you're going to constantly have the stronger countries attacking the weaker ones. Doesn't matter whether it's Russia attacking Ukraine, whether the United States attacking Iraq, some big company is attacking a small company. Whether Kuwait, whether Iraq was attacking Kuwait, the strong company usually attacks the smaller one.
Right.
So, nobody's attacking China. Look at that. You ever seen anybody attack China?
No, China's safe.
You think China's right 100% of the time? China's not 100% right. They just have the most weapons and the most people.
China always checks in as safe on Facebook. Hey, Robert, China checks in as safe on Facebook. You know how people check in safe?
Right, yeah, they always
on
safe.
Facebook. China checks in safe. Yeah, they be like, we safe.
We good. We safe. Ain't nobody bothering us.
Good.
We are always safe. The little country is always running wrong. We're always attacking them. Well, this works its way down society, too. Hate to say it, but we find our race seem like to be under constant attack. And it's not that we are less strong or less successful or less smart or less creative or productive. It's that we didn't spend our years in development creating weapons and firearms. But other societies, they spent as much time creating firearms as they created anything else. And so now they feel like they're right. The folks are walking around with all these guns now.
Exactly.
They can walk up to somebody and shoot up people and run people off the road and demand that their kids don't be taught a certain thing in school, and because they have these weapons, because they feel like might makes right. It's not a matter of right. It's a matter of might. And that seems to be the rule of the day, not just in Ukraine and Russia, but in society in general. And we see it play out every day right here in the United States as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
What's going on in your neck of the woods, brother? What's going on with Gatewood Marketing these days?
Well, I'm doing a transition. I've been working so hard here lately, not lately, but over the past 30 years that I'm going into my, what we call it, passive income, not necessarily income, but making my imprint in a different forum. I'm pumping my YouTube channel. I'm pumping my podcast. I'm going to take all this body of knowledge that I've accumulated over the last 30 years and now dispense it through these different digital platforms. I still have a very good and viable client list. It's a much smaller list by choice because I've kind of cut it down to about a certain number of people that have been with me. Maybe it's like 5 years is the minimum. If you haven't been with me 5 years, there's a pretty good chance you're not going to be part of the team. So the average, people like Joe Madison, around 20, 30, almost 30 years. People like MRS Tax, 20 years. Taxes and all, about
the Black
five,
Eagle.
6 years. The Black Eagle, yeah. He's been around. He's
are
one
you
of my first clients.
Are you saying you've been flying the Black Eagle for 20 years?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I did his first website, and I've been with him really ever since. But Leon, this is I have this to say about anybody who's contemplating business. This is one of those secret sauces. People get it all. So many people are chasing the shiny objects and the flash in the pan that they're not doing it the right way. But it's about building relationships. I was looking at my client list, the one that I decided to continue to work with, and they are all connected somehow. I mean, it really blew my mind. I looked at how Joe Madison was connected to Radio 1 and Radio 1 was connected to Carmese Graves and how Carmese was connected to BLE and BLE was connected to MRS Tax and MRS Tax was connected to taxes and all. I mean, it was a web, and it shows those degrees of separation, the power of attraction, all these forces were at work. But you've got to start you got to stay on your purpose. You got to stay on where you want to go. You have to have an idea. And the way these pieces collect and work together and create this synergy, you need to do that. If you are starting a business or if you're in business now, you're trying to get lost, you've got to create some relationships. Just going out here bringing in new people all day long is going to run you to death. It's going to kill you. It's not going to. You're really not going to make it. It's going to work. It's going to wear you out.
Put it
black. Not going to make any money.
Make it plain, brother.
Yeah, you say. What you say? Make it plain, Robert. So you're just not going to make it.
You're not going to make it. No. It may be delayed. You might make it for a little while, but you're really just delaying the inevitable.
Right.
You're going to fail eventually. But if you have a direction, a plan, and you stick with it, and you're good at what you do, you put out a good service, and you build these relationships. We talk about stakeholders, stakeholders being clients, customers, vendors, suppliers, joint venturers, partners, funders. You build those relationships, government agencies, a community, churches. You build those relationships. You will never go hungry a day in your life. I'm telling you. I'm not doing any what we call traditional advertising right now because it's not necessary. All I need to do is just keep putting myself in front of people and nurturing those relationships that I've already developed. And it's like you can always find – then you have to just keep finding new products to offer to that body of people, those relationships that you've nurtured and harnessed. And like right now, if I start a new service tomorrow, I know darn well I could sell it to Joe Madison, I could sell it to Neely Fuller, I could sell it to Sean at MR at Packers and All, I could sell it to Thorman at MR at Packs, I could sell it to BLE because they trust me. They know I'm going to be on top of things. I'm going to put out a good product. And so I don't have to keep going out here shaking the bushes to bring in strangers because the cost of acquisition for a new client is exponentially higher than bringing a service to a client you already have. So I can keep my cost down by advertising cost down by continuing to nurture and build the brand and keep myself on top of the game. Instead of spending all that money in advertising, I just keep building a better mousetrap, building a better product. And it's a formula that's I don't say it's foolproof, but it's not what they teach you in school. I can tell you that. I'm not just talking it. I do it.
That's right.
And that's been the main differentiator. My unique selling position for my company is that not only am I just talking about this stuff on the air every Friday, I'm not just a talking head. When I get off the air, I roll up my sleeves and go out there and start doing some of the very same things I just imparted to the audience. So to answer your question, what I'm doing now, I've scaled back my client list where I'm not taking on really new clients. When I say that with tongue in cheek, because if they come to me with a strong enough case, I may squeak them in, or they may come referred by one of the people I just mentioned earlier. I may squeeze them in. But for the most part, I want to share the knowledge that I've accumulated over the years. I'm moving into that phase of self-actualization where I want you to go listen to the podcast. I want you to go to the YouTube channel and get this knowledge. And I'm not charging you any money for it. I'm just saying go out there and get it. And hopefully you'll take this information and cut your costs, build your business, create opportunities to put people to work and build some type of economic foundation in our community. Because to me it's more about the purpose than making the money. And right now our community is in need of a strong economic platform because it's once you build that economic base, it mitigates a litany of needs that we have in our community, such as kids out here carjacking and still got people shooting each other and heaven forbid some of the other crap that goes on. But it starts with us adults. We've got to do better and provide these opportunities and role models so they can see that they have an option. And if we don't give them options, then they're going to grab the thing that's in front of them the most accessible. And sometimes that's a path to violence and prison, really. So that's my thing. I'm on. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very, much. So my message is clear.
Yeah,
I'm not wavering in 20 years.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that and what that kind of leads into what we want to talk about a little more about, a little more about tonight in the state of the human race. And when I say that, we're talking about where are we headed? I mean, I don't see a good end to this, you know? I don't see humanity stepping up. I don't see the right, the righteousness that we're going to need to see to counter the evil that we see.
Okay, bro. I got something to say about that.
I've been in meetings all week with different segments of the community, people trying to find answers to what's going on, the things you were just mentioning, people trying to find answers to what can we do about young people killing each other so much. What can we do about the confusion going on with people's sexuality? What can we do about the all the confusion, period, in as far as what's going on? What can we do about a country that's so divided politically that nothing seems to make sense unless I say it, or unless we say it, unless they say it? And what can we do about that? How far is this going to go before it ends? I mean, how far is it going to go before it gets so bad we can't do anything about it? Anyway.
I don't want to call myself a know-it-all, but I actually know the answer. The problem is the powers that be don't want to hear the answer because it doesn't lie in their pockets. What it takes, Leon, this is what it takes. When you go through the human emotions of why people do something, particularly when it comes to you talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and go through that whole psychological thing. But there's a piece of this block called consensus. It's also called social proof, desire to belong. And what it does is that when you got to get people to follow the leader. They're doing that now, but following the leader down the wrong path. Let's just say in a world of justice, right, in a righteous world, all this money that is spent now telling, you know, playing rap music and advertising crap on the air and got people politically divided, let's just say if that money was spent on a laser focus of bringing people together, let's just say if we started running ads showing people loving each other, we start running ads showing somebody of a different race helping somebody else who looks nothing like them. We start running ads of showing, you know, hillbillies and truck drivers and gangbangers and guys with scarves around their head actually working on projects together. People of different economic groups actually doing, if they see it, and this is the power of media. Don't ever let anybody convince you that media is not mind-altering. Media is mind-bending. When Hitler decided to start the Third Reich, he hired a guy named Joseph Goebbels. One of the first hires that he made was this guy, a media master, a guy that could bend the minds of people. Right now over in Ukraine and Russia, the Russians that are in Russia right now they've been convinced that the Ukrainians are the bad guys, that they're run by Nazis, that they're creating biological weapons. So the people that are doing the attacking, they think they're doing the right thing. So you could fix the problem in the United States tomorrow if the people in the media chose to do so. I'm telling you, Leon, it's that simple. It's not going to happen, but I'm telling you, you could fix the race problem. You could fix the economic divide problem. You could get kids off drugs, teenagers from being pregnant. You could stop voter suppression. You could stop all of this stuff tomorrow if the media decided to do it. The media, however, is run by people who are trying to make money. They don't want to change it. It's not profitable. The media created Donald Trump.
I read. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
they're recreating. They're trying to recreate.
Create them again. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, that is the answer. But, I mean, I know there's an old saying, something is easier said than done. But you could fix just practically every problem in society. If you started to, if Fox and CNN and MSNBC and all of these different networks got together to look, what we're going to start doing now, we're going to start showing people working together, people helping each other, different groups coming together, and start running those ads around the clock, these problems will be done by next year this time. We sing a totally different tune. Economy would go up, unemployment would explode, all these problems we're having would go away, these folks, all this racial discord would evaporate tomorrow. But people don't want that to happen. It's not profitable. That's why you got to get money out of government. That's why you got to get people like Marco Rubio and some of these other guys who are really bought and paid by big business. They're not going to do it because money and government have found themselves together, and it's not profitable to get rid of these problems. And it's really disappointing.
It's not possible.
We could fix these problems tomorrow, Leon. They could be fixed tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
But
I'm telling you, I'm in media. Let me tell you about white supremacy.
Yes, sir.
White supremacy has always been around. It's been around longer than this country has been around. But because there was a point, though, where it was not accepted, it was not popular, it was not, you couldn't bring it to the forefront because of this same issue that I'm talking about, the consensus, social proof, desire to belong. You were stigmatized. But somewhere, each year, it was chipped away. It became more and more accepted. To the point now, not only is it accepted, it's celebrated. It's rewarded. That has to be reversed. And the only way to do that, Lynn, I'm telling you, it has to be done through the media. It has to be done through the media.
Right.
You can't do it in school. School is not going to do it because they're going the wrong direction. So you can't even talk about the bad things that the white supremacists have done. You can't even talk about it because it's somebody's grandmother and they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. It has to be done through the media. That is the mode. They call it
who owns the media, bro?
Well, it's not us. Well, let's see. It's a tangled web when you start talking about who owns the media. It's what he called the third rail. You can't give it to the government because then you make the problem worse. You've got to bring the good minds together. You've got to bring the leaders together. You've got to get the people during the day when you had different communities
when we had back in the 1960s, when we had the 1965 Voting Rights Act, it took communities coming together. Black people couldn't do that alone. It took people to, but then you go back and you have somebody like Ronald Reagan comes along and he does away with the Fairness Doctrine. And once upon a time, they understood the power of the media, because once upon a time, if you had a right-wing person on your radio show, you had to have a liberal person on that same show to balance it out. Back in 1984, they did away with the Fairness Doctrine. That was the beginning of that end that we're seeing right now. That was a chipping away, because that kept people in check. Because back then, they knew, Leon, right, when they put the Fairness Doctrine in place, they knew the mind-altering power of the media. And that's why that law was there.
Right.
But the forces of evil also understood that if they got rid of it, they could start running roughshod over the weak. So, I mean, it's a tangled net,
hey,
man, but I'm telling you, we know the answer. We just don't want to get there.
Robert. I read a commentary about a middle-aged white boy wrote. In essence, mm-hmm. he said, when he was a child, a teenager, his mother and father or his parents cringed and would run him out of the room or take his bicycle if they heard him listen to rap music. He said now. He does the same or wishes he could do the same for his to his parents when he sees them watching Fox News. It's because it is of his affected his parents' mind so bad.
Yep.
It's like he doesn't even know his parents anymore. And
that's
it's because
immediately,
been,
I'm telling you.
Their minds have been infiltrated. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's like confirming your point, the point you're making, or an example of what happens when the media takes control of a person's mind. It's like this Trump syndrome. So many people are saying, I don't recognize my parents anymore. I don't recognize them anymore. I don't recognize my brothers and sisters anymore. Now, here's the fact. Everybody can't get hypnotized. Everybody's brain's not... Mm-hmm. Mechanized to be hypnotized. So there'll be a lot of people still here walking around here sane when there are a lot of people walking around messed up in the head. And that's the sad part. When you sit there and look at these people that have been messed, their head's been messed completely up.
Man, can you imagine if
stuff they
you're in a small town, the only news you get to hear all day long is Fox News. You've got Laura Ingraham. You got Tucker Carlson. You got Sean Hannity. And they just constantly demonizing the other side. I'm saying they don't even have to agree with the other side, but they take it further than that. They demonize. They otherize. It's like these people are evil. They're selling babies. This kind of thing they put in these people's heads. It should be against the law. In a just system, that would be a crime. And once upon a time,
right,
when this Fairness Doctrine was in place, it was a crime. You couldn't get on the air nonstop and spew out this type of demagoguery. There was a check and there was a balance. There isn't anymore. It's never going to change, Leon, until the media changes. I'm just telling you. I'm telling somebody who's in the media. It's not going to change. You can't change it with your schools, because the schools now have gone, they're going down the toilet. You can't change it with the music. The music is a big part of it. Now, I hate to say it, the music industry and the media, they're hand in hand. They're kissing cousins, because some of that same dogma that we're hearing, some of the same negativity we're hearing in the media has been glamorized through music. So you gotta take both of those on at the same time. That's a two-headed monster. So
two-headed
it's messaging.
Monster.
People are brainwashed. I hate to put it in such stark terms, but they have been hypnotized. It's like they're intoxicated. And you can, like I said, you're sitting there talking to somebody who was perfectly sane 4 or 5 years ago. And now it's like you're talking to them like their eyes are in a glaze.
like they're hypnotized. You snapping your finger in front of them. And I hate to say it, Leon, it's not all on the right either. This can happen to anybody.
Oh, no. I know.
This could happen to anybody.
It's sad.
Anybody, any race. You hear some of your own folks defending some indefensible things. They're like, how in the heck are you defending that craziness? He didn't do it. He famous. He's a star. No way he could have done that.
They hypnotized, man. So, they hypnotized. They hypnotized. I really think so, man. I think it's hypnosis. That's the only way I can explain it.
Marketing, advertising is man-bending. It's man-altering. And that's why I have fought so hard. That's why I wrote a book called Played in Full. I've been fighting this battle, and it's an uphill battle. And I'm telling you, man, the good guys are losing. I hate to say it. And I don't wish this so that people would agree with everything I say. Matter of fact, I like a little push and shove. I'm glad that there's another side that sees things a little differently than I do, because I don't know everything. I'm not perfect. I'm not. But what I do want, I wish it was an even fight. In this country, there's about 2,000 talk show formats. 1,900 of them, I think like 2,100 stations, 1,900 of them are conservative. About 200 liberal, what we call progressive. With that kind of imbalance, how can you expect to have a valid discussion, a discussion of all the issues when you have that type of imbalance in the media? Now, of course, they're going to say, well, the other side is going to say the liberals own the media. They're going to say the George Soros, and they're going to bring up the usual suspects, Hillary Clinton, and they're going to bring up that stuff. Yeah, okay, let's say that they're right. Give them their voice. Well, can we talk about it on an equal basis so that both parties get a chance to speak their piece? No. They're not going to agree with it. Can both sides bring their argument to the table and let's talk about it, give each side equal time? Nope, not going to happen. That's the problem right there.
That's a big problem.
I would yield.
We
got to
do better. We got to do better. We got to get in the fight. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get in the fight. We can't allow ourselves to get beat down. We can't allow our kids to be ignored. We can't allow our elderly to be ignored. It's tough out here, man, for elderly folks. In this small town of Anson County, small community of Anson County is the number one county in the state for a lot of things, and one of them is the number one county in the state where grandparents are the primary guardian for children.
Mm. Mm.
Number one county in the state. So that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure on grandparents. That's a lot of stress.
Stressing me out just hearing it.
You know, because young folk. What do you say, Rob?
It stressed me out just hearing it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, you know, especially with the situation we have with young folks right now, for most of them, COVID put us in a bind here with young people. Especially in the school system. Kids are like running, most of them running like 2 years behind now as far as what they should know in school. And that's tough. And, of course, when you get behind like that, the discipline problems pop up. So we really have to grab ourselves together, put our arms around each other, and find ways to help bring this village together so that we can hold it together. We don't want to lose control. So,
yeah.
A lot to do.
Well,
anyway, I want to tell people about something that's coming up tomorrow in the Hollow Center while I'm on that. What do you say, Rob?
What's happening in Hollow, man? Tell what's going on down in,
tomorrow in North Carolina. At the Hollow Center tomorrow, we're going to have a stress management workshop for elderly, for the elderly, and those who take care of the elderly. That'll be tomorrow from 1 to 2 at the Holler Center. It's free. Only thing you have to do is show up, tell your friends, tell your mothers, tell your grandmothers, and tell those who take care of your mothers and your grandmothers. Tomorrow there'll be a free workshop hosted by Ms. Sheila Ray, and she's a specialist on stress management for the elderly. So if you'll come out and join us on that, please, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Now 1 o'clock. On Saturday, 1 o'clock Saturday at the Holler Center. Now, on Saturday, we have a Unity in Our Community concert and outreach. That's Saturday, March 19th, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. in Charlotte at Camp North End. It's featuring the Hamiltones. It's featuring the Hamiltones. The Hamiltones, you know, Fred Hamilton. I didn't mean to say Fred Hamilton. Anyway. Anyway, the Hamiltones, that's going to be also featuring Rudy Currents, Dennis Reed and The Gap, and some other artists. It's sponsored by NC Counts Coalition, Healthier Together, and the Charlotte NAACP branch, Atlanta NAACP. All this going to be at the North End, Camp North End, 1824 Statesville Avenue, Charlotte. It's on... That's from 1 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. It's going to be having free COVID-19 vaccines and resources, voter registration, community information, free food, free haircuts, and performances. It's going to be a big day. We're going to take our kids up. Sir?
Now, what's this place where it's going to be held?
It's at Camp North End. It's a big venue up there. One of the most recent and one of the largest things they've had up there recently was the Van Gogh exhibit. You know, Van Gogh, that artist guy that cut his ear off. I don't know why he did that, but that's just shaving. He had a big beard, man.
I see why. Trying to cover that
beard.
Yeah, you do that when you lose it.
Right.
But he could draw, though, right?
Yeah, that dude could draw, man. Okay. That is so big as ever had at Camp North End about a year ago. Huh?
Sir? So it's like a coliseum? It's like a auditorium?
Yeah, so it's like a coliseum, but it has a lot of outside space as well. So most of this will be on the outside. But anyway, we're taking our kids up. We're taking the Lion King Jr. cast up. We're going to do a tennis clinic while we're out there with the little mini nets and stuff for the kids. We're going to take some hula hoops.
But you all got a booth up there?
And, of course, we're not on.
Sir? Y'all have a booth or something up there? Y'all have a booth or what?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Holler Center. We're partners in this mission to bring vaccine equity to the black community and those who have been, those who need it most. We're trying to bring vaccine justice. And what does Mr. Neely Fuller call justice, Robert? Getting it help to those who need it most.
That's right. Don't mistreat anybody. He said, don't mistreat anybody and make sure those that need the most help get the most help.
That's right.
That's just
what you'll find in this society we're living in now is people in power will give it to their buddies, their cronies. It's just a tough world we're living in, man. Once you get down, man, it's hard to get back up.
Oh, man.
It's hard.
It's like the deck is stacked against you once you get down. Everything. It's like even taxes on the downtrodden. Paying higher interest rates on everything. You're paying return check fees. Once you're down, society has ganged up to keep you down. So
yeah, it is.
I don't even talk about that.
The thing about these insurance companies, what these insurance companies do is kind of cruel. You know, they base your premiums on your zip code. Man. And you know how, you know what that is. You know what that really is.
Yeah, we know what that is.
We know what that really is.
We don't talk cold like they do.
Now,
that's a good sounding event there, brother.
We have a lot going on. We're trying to fight, man. We're trying to fight, Nathan. We're trying to fight this thing now. We're trying to keep some things going on, some positive things going on now. Sunday, we're going to work with one of our partners, the New Rural Project. And they are going to do some what they call deep canvassing, speak to infrequent voters in Anson County. We're going to go from door to door down Salisbury Street and the back streets, you know, with infrequent voters, people that don't vote frequently. We're going to try to get them reengaged into the political process because that's what's very important in us, what you were mentioning earlier in the show, that we help put people in to office that have our best interests at heart. And the only way we're going to do that, guys, is vote.
Gotta vote.
Don't not let anyone tell you that your vote does not count. That's the only way, man.
Well, Leon, you have some of these folks who have become so overcool. They become so, it's like, I mean, I understand you want to wake people up, but some people have just gone to the extreme where they feel like voting is this waste of time. But I have to tell these same folks now, look, do you know who decides what roads get paved? You know who decides how much lead is going to be in your water? You know who decides even you're going to have water? You can't be out here drinking water and driving down the street and saying it doesn't matter because those very streets you're driving on are determined by somebody in power. So if you're going to take that example, if you're going to take that extreme example, just take it all the way. Stop drinking water. Stop driving on the street. Stop going to school. You know what I'm saying? Because you are not a purist. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Sitting here saying voting doesn't matter, but you're taking advantage of the auspices, the things that votes
right.
Others have delivered. Adding on somebody else's work.
Exactly.
Anyway,
I'm gonna finish my announcement.
Sorry,
about
man.
The front porch conversation with the canvassing. You know, man, we got so much to talk about. It's just tough. It's tough to stay on course. Anyway, front porch conversations. This is what they call deep canvassing, and it's being sponsored by the New Rural Project. The co-founders Helen Probst Mills and Cynthia Wallace. On Sunday. We'll meet at the Ebenezer Baptist Church. This is going to go from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. We're going to start at Ebenezer Baptist Church. And I understand that NBC News is going to be following to check things out, see how we're going about doing this and what we expect to come of it. We're asking everybody that can to come out. Join us at Ebenezer Baptist Church. On Sunday at 2:00, we got to do something, guys. We got to make it work. We got to get to work. We got to get to work. We got to get to work.
Well, one thing, Leon.
Now,
people can never say to you.
Yes, sir.
People can never say that you didn't. People would never be able to say that you didn't try. You have put you have put it on the line. I mean, I've just heard you've done more in that one weekend than many people do in their whole life. Some of these same folks sitting around complaining. Haven't done jack squat, but you've laid out. You've just read enough stuff. And like I said, most people won't do that in their entire life. If they're hell bent on just complaining about what's going on and what's not going on, and I'm not saying because you complain that it's too late. I'm saying that you can always change your trajectory and start doing things. If you can't start it yourself, then join Holler. Go out there and grab one of those clipboards and go door to door. Get on one of those vans and go up there and help corral these kids, keep them in line. Go out here and donate. If you don't want to get your hands dirty, there's always a button you can push to pop in some money to help pay the ones who are out there doing it.
So there's always something you can do. Always.
There's always something you can do, man. And I'm going to tell you, my friends with Black Voters Matter, they're always doing something, man. We just got to give them a big hand, man. These guys are nonstop. They never stop. I mean, I think at the moment they're involved right now from Georgia to Selma. I mean, it's something, it just keeps something going all the time. And that's what it's going to take to make this work, guys. We have to have all hands on deck. All hands.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody needs to be doing something. I mean, wherever you are, I mean, from wherever you are, you can do something.
You are exactly right. Matter of fact, one of our black leaders, that famous quote, he said, "Drop your bucket where you are." I think it was either George Washington Carver or Booker T. I think it was George, one of them. I can't get those two mixed up. It's like, drop your bucket where you are. In other words, you don't worry about where I am. I think it's Booker T. Washington. Don't worry about what I'm doing over here, and don't be looking at me saying, well, I can't do what you do because I can't walk. I can't do what you do because I don't have any money. I can't do what you do because I'm in this industry. Well, I think it was Booker T. Washington said, cast your bucket where you are. Cast your bucket.
That's right.
Everybody has a bucket to cast. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Do what you do, and we'll be fine.
That's right. That's right. Does everybody realize racism is a pandemic? I just read this. Racism is a pandemic.
And
it doesn't seem to ever want to go away.
Right. You want to appeal a vaccination, that whoever comes up with that one, man, they're going to get all my money. Come up with a racism vaccine.
I'm trying to tell you, man. This is crazy.
It's contagious. It has all the characteristics of a pandemic. Man, oh, man, how did we get to this point? And you know the sad part, Leon, is that the folks that are most impacted are the ones that you just can't talk to. There's just no reasoning. It's like you're talking to a brick wall. They live in a different reality.
Right.
It's hard to convince somebody when their reality is they live in a different reality. You're trying to argue with somebody who thinks the sky is green. That's just going nowhere. Their reality is different. What's right and what's wrong is different. What true and false is different. That's an argument you're never going to win. That's what I'm saying. This thing is different, more than just you got to vote and do all that to take care of the now. But there should be an effort right now that we got to go into a reprogramming mode. This has to be reversed, really. And the only way to sound like a broken record, the only way to do it is through the media and music.
Well, let me ask you this right before we close out. How can we influence the media? Is there a way we, the people, can influence the media, I mean, to do the right thing?
Well, we have to make it a priority. Right now, it's always like a second thought. Like, we're talking about it right now. It's like, okay, we got to vote, we got to do this, we got to go to war, we got to do that. But then also let's look at the media. Well, the media's got to get at the top of the list because it can control so many of those other things that we're talking about. It has to become a priority. Grassroots, politicians, churches, young people, it has to go to the top of the list. We have to start boycotting sponsors. We have to insert ourselves. You got these people out here spewing this misinformation and detrimental information and divisive information. They need to be stopped. And the best way to stop the media people is through their sponsors. So we need to go out here and engage in a campaign of telling these, you can't be Pepsi-Cola over here saying, look, I'm giving the Black Lives Matter, but at the same time you're sponsoring some of these shows that are
saying the exact opposite. So we've got to be more vigilant and going to the source. These shows don't exist in a vacuum. The only way they can exist is through sponsorships. Sponsorships are paying their salaries of the hosts.
Uh-huh.
It's paying the executives. It's paying the rent, the overhead. If they don't have that money, they're going to dry up like raising in the sun, wither and run. So that, is, to me, would be energy well spent to change the direction. And we're not saying going in there with an agenda, say, look, I'm going to stop drinking Coke or Pepsi or milk because I want you to have a leftist agenda. I'm saying let's shoot for balance first. Let's shoot for equality.
All right.
Let's shoot for a balanced media where everybody has a voice. The way democracy should work,
that's right.
But democracy can't even work because of the media.
That's right.
To me is where this energy should start. We got to go to these sponsors and say, look, you got to do better. I'm sorry. I can't support you if you're supporting this craziness. I'm going to put my money in my pocket. And there are some people that are already doing this, but they're just not, they're not getting the support they need.
Right.
So that's my approach.
Yeah. Well, I like that approach, man. I mean, you know, that's what works. Like you say, you got to get in the pockets. And that's what matters in America. Money. That's what matters in America.
Capitalism.
I mean,
that's one capitalism of the, for a reason.
That's one of the things that... Exactly. Like, I want to make sure everybody, again, Robert, thank you for your comments tonight, man. Thank you for your comments. I'd like to wish my other two brothers that aren't here tonight well, and everyone else that's going through a few things. I'd like to thank all of our listeners that tune in every week. Thank you guys so very much. We're going to be back again. We come back every Wednesday. We're going to come back every Wednesday. So if you guys continue listening, thank you. If you have any ideas or if you ever want to call in and talk to us, I always say we enjoy talking to ourselves, but we really would like to talk to you sometimes too. We're almost flattered that you like just listening, but we really would like to hear from you sometimes too. I want to reiterate the Unity in Our Community concert and outreach, which is on Saturday from 1 to 5 p.m. at Camp North End at 1824 Statesville Avenue. Featuring the Hammerstones, who are actually the backup singers for Anthony Hamilton. Yeah, Ali. All those guys are going to be there tomorrow, Saturday, up here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So come out, the NC Camp Coalition Productions, right along with the Atlanta NAACP and UP. So many partners, man. This is going to be a big event, and it's a free event. Please come out. Like I said, we're taking our kids up to enjoy the day. Got a lot of chaperones going up with us. Thank you guys that are joining us on the trip. It's going to be a beautiful day. Please come on up. Like I said, pre-COVID-19 vaccines and resources, voter registration, community information, free food, free haircuts. It's going to be a big day. Come on out. Got to make this happen, Robert.
Man, sounds like a great event.
Gotta make this happen.
I may have to come to North Carolina. All that's going on.
Something good. Come on, bro. Come on down.
It'll be beautiful weather Saturday.
Amen.
Man, mighty tempting there, brother. Mighty tempting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you want more information on this, go to bit.ly/unity in our community. All right. There you have it.
Is that on your website, man? Oh, never mind. Is that on your website?
It's on
anywhere?
My Facebook page, brother.
On your Facebook?
It's on the
okay.
Hall of Facebook page, man.
There you go. I'll check it out.
Yes,
and I'll share it.
Take it out and share it, my man.
We'll be together one day, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be together.
Yeah, it's going to work out.
Division.
It's going to work out. It's going to work out. Ever since that day, not now. It's going to work out. All I want to do.
for you.
Hi, brother.
Good night, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Hey, brother.
Be safe out there.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You the same.
Brother.